The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Students of the Game. My name is Alex Bauman, and as always, I'm joined by Gray Oldenburg and Nathan Glywell. Not only is it Thanksgiving week, but in the state of Alabama, it's also Iron Bowl week. We'll preview that game and discuss what's going on in college football, college basketball, as well as the NFL and NBA. But before that, let's jump into AAA. The first story we have today is actor Chris Hemsworth has announced that he plans to take off time from acting after discovering he has a genetic predisposition for Alzheimer's disease. What do y'all think about this?
Obviously, Hemsworth is such a star, such a iconic actor with his role as Thor in the Avengers, and you know, they discovered the DNA that contains the two copies of this predisposition for Alzheimer's, and obviously that's more of a future thing, but that, you know, that's something that takes some getting used to, stuff like that. So obviously I think the plans take time off is a good thing for him. What about you, Nathan?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely deserved time off without this, but, you know, to hear about Alzheimer's is scary just to hear about and to know that you have the, you know, predisposition of Alzheimer's, you know, and, you know, you're going to have it way down the line. It kind of puts you in that mode where you want to, you know, do the things you want to do now rather than later.
Yeah.
But it's definitely saddening to hear about that. And I hope he does, you know, come to terms with it and, you know, uses his time off to kind of figure out what he wants to do in the future. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah. So my grandmother suffered from Alzheimer's and, you know, I really didn't get to, you know her before the disease when I was, after I was born. So it's kind of difficult to watch just her suffer with that. So I really hope that, you know, he spends time with his family during his time off and, you know, really just cherishes it because, you know, time's really short, life's short.
That is very true.
All right, the second story today, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey has said the conference is leaning heavily towards moving to a single division with the two teams with the best records going to the conference championship. What do y'all think about the SEC following suit like the Pac-12 and moving to this single division?
Obviously, it's a follow-up from Texas and Oklahoma coming to the league in 2025. I expect this to take place right when that takes place, or right when that goes into effect. I think it'll be interesting. It'll be a weird dynamic with scheduling, especially with football. But, you know, we've never really understood how we were going to put in divisions with Texas and Oklahoma with a geographical sense of that. You know, because, I mean, Missouri's in the east and Texas A&M's in the west and Auburn's in the west. And so it's never really made sense. But going away from it, I think it'll be interesting to see how they handle it in the future.
Yeah. One of the big things I'm excited for is, you know, you no longer have these divisions where it's a top from each division. You will actually have the two best teams from the conference playing like they should. And, you know, crazy to think, but, you know, you could have a rematch of the Iron Bowl, really, the SEC championship.
Yeah.
So I really like this idea. I know, like, the pods were a big thing, and I like the idea of that too, but I think this is a better idea. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, Greg Sankey came out in September and said the idea of pods really doesn't work for them, so it kind of pushes that away. But I think it's a great idea. It's going to be interesting to see how they do the scheduling, like Gray said. Maybe we'll get to see an Alabama-Georgia regular season game pretty often. Get to see more matchups between these West and East teams than we have in the past.
Auburn-Florida, yes. That happened.
All right, kind of cupcake week for some of the SEC teams, some more than others. But Nathan, what do you got for us this week?
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump right into this with Alabama versus Austin Peay. Alabama ended up winning 34-0. I went to this game and I had the honor of taking three of my coworkers to their first ever Alabama game. And it was very disappointing, and I was kind of embarrassed, you know, because of the product we put out on the field. It was terrible, in my opinion. It was slow. We could not really score effectively against this Austin Peay team. We had several mistakes. One of the big ones being that we touched a punt, and it just brought back flashbacks from the Tennessee game. Really,
was it the same player?
I have no idea who it was. I think it might have been Kendrick Law, but you know, going forward, it just seemed like they didn't really care enough. And of course, you had the same issues with coordinators, and everyone just looked lost on defense. But you know, it is Austin Peay, and we did escape with a 34-0 victory. So I guess you'll take that. Gray, what do you see for the future of this Alabama team? More like bowl game, or you know, even coming up this week with the Iron Bowl?
Well, the first thing that they have to do is they have to fix the silly mistakes. Just like you said, losing the touch of the punt, losing fumbles, interceptions, costly penalties at the worst possible times. And it's just not – it doesn't look like Alabama football, and it really hasn't all year long. And they've got to find a way to get back to that point, not just before Saturday, but before wherever they go in the bowl. But – Alabama did show this week they can run the ball. Jace McClellan stepped up great with Jahmyr Gibbs being out. Yeah, so there are flashes of this team being who we all expected this Alabama team to be in the preseason. But it's just about consistency and fixing the silly, silly mistakes that they've made week in and week out.
Yeah, I mean, the offense looked terrible. Alabama didn't score 14 points till the six-minute mark of the second quarter. It kind of made Bryce Young have to play longer than I thought he should have played. And he still played into the fourth quarter, which I think was a mistake. I wanted to see the young talent of Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson to be able to get a chance to play more than, you know, a drive. So, you know, kind of disappointed in Nick Saban's decision to play the starters for as long as he did. For the defense, really disappointed in the fact that, you know, didn't get a single sack against Austin Peay. Now I know Austin Peay was, I think, 7-3 7-2 going into that game. So you know they're not a terrible team, but they're not going to beat Alabama. But you know you expect an Alabama team to have at least a sack. I mean, Austin Peay had 3 sacks, yeah. And the offensive line for Alabama looked awful. I mean, there's majority of these runs Chase McClellan had. He had to adjust because the gap that he was supposed to run through wasn't there. So kind of disappointed on both sides of the ball. But, you know, we did win 34-0, so, I mean, can't complain there. We did win, so.
Yeah, that is very true. I'm going to go ahead and bring up the future here. I know Bryce Young is definitely leaving this year. So, with these two backup quarterbacks between Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson, who would you prefer to have as a starting quarterback going into next year?
From what I saw during
– Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
From what I saw during this game, I mean – Ty Simpson really looked good, even though he got limited time. He should have had a lot more. Jalen Miller just continues to make bonehead decisions with the ball. He just fumbles, throws interceptions. I really don't think he's the future of this Alabama team, but you never know. I mean, we saw Jalen Hurts with that kind of ability succeed at Alabama.
That's true. I think it comes down to who's the coordinator next year, because I do not think it's going to be Bill O'Brien. If it is Bill O'Brien, then there's a major problem. But if it is Bill O'Brien, it's got to be someone like Ty Simpson or somebody else, somebody from the transfer portal or something, because his system does not fit somebody like Jalen Milroe.
Nope.
No, I mean, you said, Alex, you just brought up Jalen Hurts. That showed how, you know, good Lane Kiffin was with a quarterback like that. And in the past, and then you saw how good Sarkisian was with a quarterback like Mac Jones. It's going to come down to who the coordinator is and what that fit is for that quarterback.
That is a very good point. All right, let's go ahead and move on to Auburn versus Western Kentucky. Auburn ended up winning 41-17. Gray, I'm going to go ahead and let you take over here and tell us what you saw at this game.
It was a tale of two different halves. This was 17-17 at halftime after Western Kentucky got a late second quarter touchdown. Auburn got up 17-3. Then Western Kentucky scored 2 straight, and then Auburn it dominated in the second half, but that's exactly what you wanted to see from Auburn, who's under Brian Harsin struggled so much in the second half, got outcoached in the second half, The halftime adjustments were bad. Even going back to last year, you're talking about a game, even games that you won, like Ole Miss last year at home, you got up 28-3 and you won the game 28-25 at home against Ole Miss. And so them finally taking that step and making good halftime adjustments and coming out of the second half and looking dominant, no matter who it was against. I mean, Western Kentucky, again, not a bad football team. They can sling it around. Austin Reed was slinging it around all over the field, but it's exactly what you wanted to see. And this team looks and plays so much like they're coached by Cadillac Williams. Jarquez Hunter with 13 carries, Tank Bigsby with 18 carries, both with over 100 yards. Jarquez Hunter got the touchdown pass, the exact same play that Cadillac scored against Georgia in 2003. I almost started crying when that happened. The defense looked amazing in the second half. The defensive line was outstanding. Colby Wooden was great. Derek Hall, of course, was great. And then the defensive backs, they seemed to start playing more man in the second half, which slowed down the crossing patterns from somebody like Jalen Hall or Micaiah Corley from Western Kentucky, who had 12 catches in the game. They were all, like, almost all of them were in the first half because they were running cross patterns against our zone coverage. But once we started playing man, our corners started playing well. Jalen Simpson had a pick. DJ James had a pick six. Nehemiah Pritchett played well. It's improvement. It's exactly what you wanted to see from this game, especially in the second half. What did y'all see?
Yeah, Auburn's really playing to the strengths now. I mean, they're just running the ball, running it down people's throats. I'm really impressed with how the offensive coordinator there at Auburn's really fixing a playbook around Robbie Ashford's ability. I mean, he really can't throw the ball accurately, but he can throw it deep. He has an arm on him, I'll tell you what, but yeah, it's just not accurate. But, you know, they're playing to their strengths. Cadillac's got this team playing really well. And if you said 6 weeks ago, if Auburn had a chance in the Iron Bowl against Alabama, I would have told you there is no way. But yeah, right now, I really think there's a chance Auburn goes into Brian Denny and may upset him.
I would take a lot. I would take Auburn looking like how they did the second half in this game and in the second half against Mississippi State and then the whole game against Texas A&M, really. And, you know, everything going Auburn's way because, I mean, Auburn hasn't won there since Cam Newton. So,
well, just a little bit of luck takes it a long way. So, I guess we'll have to see, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to USC versus UCLA. This was our game of the week. USC ended up winning 48-45 on a last-minute interception. This game, you know, really hard to watch as an Alabama fan because during the day Saturday, you saw all these big teams in the top four and, you know, like Tennessee and USC and TCU and Michigan. They were all down, and they had the chance to be upset. And there is a small chance you have a path to the playoff if you're Alabama. But – you know, everything ended up flipping last minute. And this is one of those huge games where, you know, you lined up these two teams across from each other and you saw this game coming. Gray, what did you see from a quarterback like Caleb Williams in his dominant performance against this UCLA team?
If Caleb Williams is not the perfect comparison of the college Patrick Mahomes, I don't know what it is. He makes throws that just look impossible. And he's got weapons around him. Obviously, the Biletnikoff winner last year from Pittsburgh, Jordan Addison, had a huge game. He finally had the breakout game that we've been waiting on for all season from a guy like him. And that USC team, they look good. Their offense looks good. Obviously, their defense isn't all amazing, but they can create takeaways. They had three interceptions in this game. They had two recovered fumbles in this game. So, I mean, they can create plays. They can get the ball back through their offense. USC is not a bad team. It's just about they gotta go play against Oregon or Utah in the Pac-12 championship. So it all depends on that one right there. But same thing with UCLA. That's not a bad football team. They scored 45 points in this game. They showed that they can be good. They just gotta win these bigger games.
Yeah, what it came down to is just the turnovers from UCLA really cost them in this. I mean, Dorian Thompson Robinson gave it all he had, but it's just an interception that lost fumble really iced the game for him. But I mean, Caleb Williams, man, he looked awesome that entire game.
Unbelievable.
He's Heisman candidate right now. I mean, people might be the top one besides CJ Stroud. And, you know, USC played the game without Travis Dye, and Austin Jones, a transfer from Stanford, picked it up with 21 carries for 120 yards and two touchdowns and had four receptions for 57 yards. So, you know, USC's got the depth and they got the talent. I mean, they might make a run for this college ball playoff and might face Georgia.
That'd be a very, very high-scoring game, in my opinion. All right, some other big games of the week. We had South Carolina beating number 5 Tennessee 63-38. Ooh, that's a big one.
What?
You also had number 3 Michigan beating Illinois in a last-second field goal 19-17. You had number 4 TCU beating Baylor 29-28 on a last-minute field goal. Number 2 Ohio State beat out Maryland 43-30. And Georgia snuck by Kentucky 16-6. What a weird score there. Mm-hmm. Any of these games stick out to you? Obviously, not one I mentioned.
Well, I'm just going to steal it, Alex, because what? 63-38. South Carolina demolishing Tennessee. Spencer Rattler finally looked like the quarterback that he looked like we were going to saw at Oklahoma. And Hendon Hooker tore his ACL. He didn't have a bad game before he tore that ACL. That Tennessee defense just could not get a stop. South Carolina looked like they were playing against a high school team on offense, and it wasn't even that close.
Yeah, being the resident TCU guy here, that game was very hectic. At the end of the game, I was like, what is Sonny Dykes doing? But, you know, he knew what he was doing, I guess, because they went out and made that field goal to win the game. Yeah, but, you know, that took some guts and some very, very good coordination from the special teams unit. But also like to point out the Michigan-Illinois game. Illinois could have won that game. They were, I think, at the 30 or 20-yard line. They had a chance to kick a field goal to go 20-16, I think, at that point. And instead, they tried to go for it and didn't convert. So, you know, that was the difference there. Brett Bielema had some things to say about the refs after the game. But also Ohio State-Maryland. Maryland had a chance to win that game at the end.
Yep.
But Tagovailoa, to his brother, just fumbled the ball and returned for a touchdown. But that game was way closer than that final score.
Yeah.
A lot of close games, a lot of potential upsets that just didn't end up happening. All right, let's go ahead and move on to our college basketball from the week. Gray, Alex, what do you think? What happened this week?
Yeah, well, talk about the Alabama schools, obviously. Alabama won both of their games, beating South Alabama at South Alabama 65-55, and then beating Jacksonville State 104-62. What did y'all see from Alabama? Again, seeing offensive improvements throughout the week. I mean, just the week itself. What did y'all see?
Ooh. So to start off with the South Alabama game, I think there were moments where we struggled to hit shots, but, you know, we did have a big impact on defense, and really, you know, we have that talent to, you know, just overpower teams like South Alabama. But mm-hmm. then heading into this Jacksonville State game, it's just Brandon Miller is all over the place. He is the best freshman in the country, in my opinion, and it's just crazy to see his potential and what he can do the rest of the season. Alex, what about you?
So, in the South Alabama game, you know, we struggled to shoot the ball, didn't shoot over 40% from the field and only made 55% of our free throws. So you got to get better from there. And then in the Jacksonville State game, they ended up shooting a lot better. So, you know, there's that. And like you said, Brandon Miller, man, what a talent.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Brandon Miller is the best freshman in the country, and I don't think it's really close. And he's proving that week in and week out and game in and game out. If Alabama makes 21 threes and goes 45% from three in a game and their best player scores 28 points, there's not a team in the country that will beat them. So moving on to talk a little bit about Auburn. Auburn wins their first game against Winthrop by a score of 89-65, and then wins their second game, a little bit of a struggle against Texas Southern, but Auburn pulls away late by a score of 72-56. What did y'all see from Auburn? Again, just like last week, have a really good offensive game first. Has their best offensive game. Auburn shoots much, much better. It's shooting 39% from three against Winthrop, and then struggles more against Texas Southern.
Yeah, it's something I've mentioned at the beginning of the season, but it's all about, you know, having some team chemistry and just coming out and getting used to kind of the flow of the game. Because we all know these scrimmages are a little bit different. And now, you know, right before the season, playing the Israeli teams, but you know, playing a different college team, there's a different flow to the game, and it's kind of hard to adjust. And a lot of times, it affects stuff like your shooting. And you know, you have games where you shoot almost 40% from three, and then you turn around and shoot 25%. So I think it's just going to be one of those things. As the season goes on, they'll get more adjusted to the way the flow of the game is going to work and how their offense is going to, you know, fit together like a puzzle almost. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Auburn needs to search for their identity a little bit more. Like you said, their chemistry is a little bit off, but you know, I think team coach Bruce Pearl is definitely, you know, on their way to being successful. But I haven't seen a guy step up for Auburn, like number one option, like they had with Jabari Smith last year. So we need someone on this roster step up as that option.
Yeah, 100%. I think that guy, you know, long term is somebody like Wendell Green. He's the most consistent offensively. He didn't have a good game against Texas Southern. Really, nobody had a good game against Texas Southern outside of somebody like Jalen Williams and Chris Moore. It was great to see Chris Moore play a lot more, especially with him starting over somebody like Alan Flanagan. But Wendell Green's one of, if not the best point guard in the SEC. He's got to prove, he's proving that as we speak. He's got to be more consistent offensively and be that number one scorer for Auburn. So talking about our game of the week, the number six Kansas Jayhawks knock off the number seven Duke Blue Devils by a score of 69-64 in the Champions Classic. This was a fantastic game. I watched this. It was just a beautiful game. What did y'all see from this one?
You know, it's crazy to see one, you know, this big of a matchup so early in the season. But, you know, the hype was definitely there, and it did not disappoint. Kansas really took care of business, even though it was close. But you want to, like, look at a team like Duke and kind of wonder where they went wrong. And, you know, you can kind of pick it out right there on the stat sheet. They shot 35% from the field and 14% from three. And I'm not excusing the Kansas Jayhawks shooting 15% from three either, but that's just terrible shooting from Duke. And you can't play like that and expect to win a game like this.
Yeah.
I mean, Jalen Williams really stepped up for Kansas. I mean, he had 25 points and 11 boards, even though he shot over seven from three, which kind of contributed to that 15%. But, you know, he really stepped up as a top player for Kansas. DeJuan Harris Jr. has stepped up as the facilitator for that team as well. Good to see him. But, you know, Duke, really young team. So, you know, they got a lot of ways to go.
Yeah. If Filipowski finally takes the step to be that guy for Duke, I mean, he's a perfect prototypical Duke player. He's a big guy, doesn't shoot very well from outside, but gets boards, can score points, and just looks like he plays for Duke. if he can take that next step, then Duke will be better. But again, they can't shoot like that and win.
Yep.
Some other big games: Northwestern State beat number 15 TCU 64-63. Michigan State beat number four Kentucky in the Champions Classic 86-77 in second overtime. Number 11 Texas beat number two Gonzaga 93-74. Holy moly. Murray State knocked off number 24 Texas A&M 88-79. Colorado beat number 24 Texas A&M 103-75. Well, A&M is struggling.
And football team.
Yeah, definitely. Number 16 Virginia beat number five Baylor 86-79. Number 19 Illinois beat number eight UCLA 79-70. Number five Baylor beat UCLA after coming back after that Virginia loss 80-75. And then Gonzaga beat number four Kentucky 88-72, knocking Kentucky to 0-2 on the week. Whew, that is not a good run for Kentucky. What game sticks out to y'all besides the game of the week?
You know, the obvious one is Michigan State, you know, beating Kentucky in double overtime. That was a huge game to watch. Alex, what's one that's stuck out to you?
Texas versus Gonzaga. Gonzaga really didn't have control of that game. Texas really took it and ran with it. And, you know, Gonzaga's really – I don't know what to say about Gonzaga. They're up and down. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, me either. I agree. So now we'll move on to talking about the NFL from this past weekend. Alex, take it away.
Yep, our NFL game of the week was Jets versus Patriots. The Patriots ended up winning 10-3. The difference in the game ended up being Patriots rookie Marcus Jones returned a Jets punt 84 yards for a touchdown with 5 seconds left in the game.
Yeah, what a defensive slugfest this was. I mean, the offenses scored 3 points each. I just the Jets had 2 total yards of offense, negative 21 passing yards in the second half. They had 9 completions and 10 punts. That's insane.
All right, I'm just going to go ahead and point out the elephant in the room right here, as QB Zach Wilson cannot perform at the standard people want.
But he's Patrick Mahomes. He's the next Patrick Mahomes. Calm down.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot watch him anymore. It is just awful. Switch needs to be made at quarterback for the Jets, and something has to be done. Obviously, when you only pass for 77 yards and your leading rusher only has 26 yards, what is going on? You have 3 points on offense, and you have 10 punts. Obviously, yeah. There's a huge issue there. This game of the week, not really. Far from the game of the week. You look at the other side with the Patriots. Mac Jones had a good game. He just, you know, couldn't find the end zone. Damian Harris had a good game. But it's just one of those things when your offense only scores 3 points, you wonder what's going on? How can you fix this? And, you know, how can you go into next game and adjust? Alex, what did you see from this game?
Defensive slugfest. It was, I love watching defense. So, you know, it was great for me. But, you know, after the game, Zach Wilson failed to take accountability for how bad he was. A reporter asked him, "Do you feel like you let the defense down at all?" He said no. And then he also said, "I think you have to take into account it's windy as hell out there too, guys." I just like to point out Mac Jones threw for 246 yards. So, yeah, you know, obviously it's not the problem.
Yeah, he's not the problem. I agree. But this, just like you said, Alex, defensive slugfest. You said you enjoyed it. I love watching defense too, but I hated watching this game. It was bad. It was bad.
Well, especially wasn't when the Jets
run offense. Yeah. They can have Sam Darnold back.
I mean, Joe Flacco at this point, he led him to a good record before Zach Wilson came back.
Yeah. Maybe for Baker Mayfield.
Don't get me started.
Oh my gosh. We don't have time for that.
All right. So I'm going to ask you, what do y'all think for your NBA players of the week this week?
Oh,
Nathan, you can go first because I know you're picking.
You know, I'm just going to go ahead. I'm picking Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for, what is this? It's the second, third week in a row now, but he continues to impress. His stats are amazing. And this Thunder team's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. So there's that, even though we did go 1-2 this week. But I'm not going to take him all the time. Gray, who do you have as your MVP of the week?
I'm going to go different. Somebody who really impressed in 2 games this week, averaged 30 points, a little over 6 rebounds, a little over 5 assists, and his team went 2-0. He's finally taking that next step as Anthony Edwards. You want to see him improve and be that guy from Minnesota because, I mean, as much as Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, they've got to have a guard score, and that guy has to be Anthony Edwards. And so I'll go with Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, for me, it's going to have to be Suns guard Devin Booker. I mean, he averaged 30 points this week. The team went 2-2, but I mean, he's really stepped up in the absence of Chris Paul. So, you know, I think he's MVP frontrunner right now outside of Luka Doncic. So, you know, I think Devin Booker really is my MVP of the week. All right, Nathan, what do you got for college football this upcoming weekend? Rivalry week.
Yes, sir. Big week. So, you know, obviously you had the Egg Bowl on Thursday, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. You also had North Carolina versus NC State, Florida versus Florida State, USC versus Notre Dame, Clemson versus South Carolina. That's a big game right there. Tulane versus Cincinnati, Oregon versus Oregon State, Georgia versus Georgia Tech, Alabama versus Auburn in the Iron Bowl, of course. And then our game of the week, obviously, is the game, Ohio State versus Michigan. Other than the Iron Bowl and Ohio State versus Michigan, any other games stick out to y'all?
I want to see if South Carolina could do the exact same thing they did this past week against Clemson. And I think they can. I think if they just got to put it all together. I think they put all their cards into beating Tennessee. Can they perform like that against Clemson and knock off the Tigers?
Yeah, for me, it's the USC Notre Dame game. Notre Dame's really on the upswing right now, so it's going to be interesting to see how they play against Caleb Williams and the Trojans.
Very interesting indeed.
All right, Greg, what do you got for us for college basketball this week?
College basketball, it's kind of a weird week with Thanksgiving week and a lot of tournaments. You know, Auburn playing in the Cancun Challenge. You got the Maui Gym and, all kinds of battle for Atlantis. Alabama plays Michigan State on Thursday. That's going to be a big game. That's a really late game at 9:30 on Thursday. And then Auburn plays against Bradley and then St. Louis on Sunday. And then you got Arkansas versus Louisville on Monday. Then Kansas versus NC State on Wednesday. Dayton versus Wisconsin on Wednesday. Tennessee versus Butler also on Wednesday. That'll be a big game. UConn versus Oregon on Thursday. Arizona versus Cincinnati on Monday. So some pretty good games. What game sticks out to y'all?
You know, other than the Alabama game, because I'm really excited for that going, even though it is, you know, late at night. Be half asleep then. But you want to look at this Arkansas team, and, you know, they have a test versus this Louisville team who hasn't really been good this season, but could we see this Louisville team come alive and give Arkansas some trouble?
Oh, that'd be funny.
That would be very funny. yeah, Alex, what do you think? Well, might have lost Alex there.
You lose, Alex.
My mistake, fellas. All right, so my game is going to be the Kansas NC State game, our game of the week. you know, Kansas can't shoot like they did against Duke, so, you know, interesting game with NC State being 4-0, just like Kansas.
Yeah, 100%. Alex, what do we got for NFL this upcoming weekend? Thanksgiving weekend.
On Thanksgiving, you got Bills versus Lions, Giants versus Cowboys, and Patriots versus Vikings. You also got the Buccaneers versus Browns. Is that Deshaun Watson's first game back?
I believe so.
Bears versus Jets, Falcons versus Commanders, Chargers versus Cardinals, Rams versus Chiefs, Packers versus Eagles, and then our game of the week, Bengals versus Titans. Any games stick out to y'all?
I like the Rams versus the Chiefs. The Chiefs coming off another big win in Los Angeles in SoFi Stadium against the Chargers. Yesterday on Sunday, but the Rams have not lived up to what we thought they were going to be. They, you know, the loss of somebody like Odell Beckham, they didn't seem like that would be as much, but their offense has no continuity at all. And they're going to have continuity to beat somebody like Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs. So I'll be interested to see that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take a look at it. Packers versus Eagles. The Eagles have been struggling the past few weeks, almost lost again this week to the Colts. But, you know, the Packers are not one of those teams where you can just take lightly. And could Aaron Rodgers upset the Eagles? I think it's very possible.
A big game for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, if they lose that game, do they start Jordan Love from this point on?
That'd be a hard decision right there.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be tough.
All right, with being Thanksgiving week, I just want to have a little discussion about Thanksgiving, some stuff involved with it. So, Gray, what's your favorite food when it comes to Thanksgiving?
Oh, okay. I don't want to be basic and say turkey, although there's going to be a lot of turkey on my plate on Thursday.
Oh my God.
I'm going to go with ham. I'm a huge ham fan. And I know Alex agrees, but that might be an unpopular opinion. But, like, I would rather have ham than turkey. But turkey's going to be on my plate just because it's Thanksgiving. What about you, Nathan?
Yeah, so, you know, a really underrated dish here, sweet potato casserole. It is so good. But mac and cheese is also up there. Mac and cheese is very good. And turkey, if it's done right, is very good, too.
Has to be done right.
Yeah, that's true.
For me, it's going to have to be green bean casserole. I know it might be an unpopular opinion.
That is unpopular.
I disagree. That's good right, there. That's good.
Nope. If it's good cook, it's going to be a good casserole.
That is very true.
I can't stand turkey. I don't know how people eat it. I don't understand. I don't understand. Ham's it's like a whole thousand times better
right now.
Ham is better.
Ham is better.
I disagree.
What about y'all's least favorite food, Alex? I assume you just said it with ham or with turkey?
With turkey, yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Nathan?
You know, it's really hard to say. But you know, yams are pretty bad.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm not a big fan of ham either. Which we
need to kick you out of this.
Yeah. I might need to go. Greg, what's your least favorite food?
Oh, I don't. You know, Alex is gonna be mad. I'm not a green bean person. I cannot. It's just no, I can't. I used to love them as a kid, but yeah, I just can't do them recently.
You know, I'm glad nobody said cranberry sauce here. I'm a big cranberry sauce guy, so I'm glad nobody said it. We had some words.
I should have said that.
I was thinking about saying that.
It's better than turkey. It's better than turkey. Might be unpopular opinion, but
that is very, very unpopular.
Yeah, it's pretty unpopular.
All right, do we have any like family traditions? Do y'all do anything special?
We just normally go. Our family lives. All of our family live pretty close. At least our immediate families. We just go and we have a whole day and watch some football, play some football, and you know, enjoy family time. What about y'all?
Mine's the same way. I got it. Exactly the same. We all live close, so it's kind of just all of us getting together.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, football every year, but you know, I also like to play a little bit of basketball, and it's really turned into, you know, more of me watching basketball than football with, you know, Alabama playing on Thursday. And that's really going to be a big thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening to Students of the Game. Hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.